You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, salutations. Good morning to you. Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio app. The talented, diverse Rob Parker, who's a provocateur, co-host of an outstanding radio show, The Odd Couple, and an adjunct professor at the University of Southern California. I'm Doug Gottlieb. All I do is I spit opinions for a living.
Is that what it is? You play basketball too, don't you? You
not still anymore. Play? I mean, yeah, but that does not what I do professionally. Professionally, you do a lot of stuff.
I got to be busy, man. I'm a busy kind of guy.
No, I'm a busy kind of guy, but not to your level. So you write for Deadspin,
yes.
which has been revamped, and you have an article that dropped today.
It hasn't dropped yet. It's in the process of dropping, and it's about Patrick Mahomes' contract. Doug, and I know when people see the headlines, you talked about it, $503 million. Wow, he's got this great contract. Doug, how much of that money is guaranteed, fully guaranteed? Do you know?
Yes, $141.481 million by
injury?
March 3rd of 2022 is fully guaranteed, regardless of what he does from this point forward.
I believe that he blew a golden opportunity to get a fully guaranteed contract. Given the resume and ammo that he had, he could have changed the thinking of NFL players. All the other sports have guaranteed contracts. The NFL still somehow, some way, basically gets away with, we want you to commit to us, but we're not going to fully commit to you. And Kirk Cousins, a couple years ago, 2018, signed that three-year, $84 million guaranteed, the first fully guaranteed contract in the NFL.
That's not true, actually.
I'm just going by.
No, but it's not actually true that it's the first fully guaranteed contract. First-round draft pick contracts are fully guaranteed for 4 years. They're all fully guaranteed.
Okay.
So the idea that they don't have, and the idea that they don't have, the rest of the contracts may not be fully guaranteed, but they have absolute guarantees in them. But the fully guaranteed NFL rookie first round draft pick contracts are fully guaranteed for 4 years.
Okay. That's not the way it's presented when you talk about Kirk Cousins and when he got his deal. But anyway,
as a free agent, he got a 3 year fully guaranteed deal.
Yes, which just didn't happen in the NFL. There was always some out or all the money's not guaranteed and you got to make the roster and all this. He got 3 years fully guaranteed. But my point is that of all people who could have changed the way that they do business in the NFL is Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Because of his resume, an MVP, a Super Bowl in his first 2 years as a starter, the potential people are already talking about. Chris Broussard already, he's Jordan-esque. He's going to be the greatest quarterback or has the potential to be the greatest quarterback of all time. Mm-hmm. All that stuff. And I think that would have been worth fighting for. Now, whether or not the Chiefs wanted to go, Doug, 10 years extension on the 2 years that were already there, or if it was a 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 year, whatever the deal was, it should have been totally guaranteed. Because that's what other sports. I would much rather have Mike Trout's contract with the Angels. He's got a $426 million contract that's fully guaranteed. He will get every nickel of his money no matter what happens. And that's where the NFL should be moving to. And then people say, you could get hurt on any play. Sure you can. Tom Brady's about to start his 21st season. Drew Brees, they didn't sign in Miami because he had an injury. People thought he was done. Guy went on to have a Hall of Fame career. There's so many examples. Why not? If a team is asking you to make a commitment to them, why shouldn't they have to make a real commitment? And I would rather see in the NFL real contracts. I'm talking about give a guy a three-year fully guaranteed contract. At the end of that time, Doug, if he's terrible, you move on. He moves on, right? And he has to go fend for himself. If he's great, then he has to get another contract or get more money. Not one where I control the narrative. Not one where it's I can let you go at any point or decide, you could stay on the team, but you have to take a pay cut in order to stay, even though you have a contract. And then all the other talk that comes out when people talk about taking a team-friendly contract
yep.
is, hey, yeah, this is good for the team. This will allow them to give you other players around you.
Can I hop in here real quick?
Sure, you can.
Okay. Everything you said actually currently exists. And you're either misrepresenting what currently exists in baseball and in football, so to speak, or we're like ships passing the night where we're not kind of properly communicating with each other. So the first thing is those contracts actually do exist. Like you're not going to get a one-sided contract. The idea that football is just like baseball is frankly bull. You know what? It just is.
No,
hold on. I gave you 5 minutes. I'm not going to go 5 minutes, and we'll have a discussion on this one. Okay. But Alex Smith is the perfect example of the other side to it, right? Like Alex Smith right now, based upon the salary cap, he still costs $32.2 million against the Washington Redskins, or whatever their nickname becomes, against the Washington Redskins cap number. $32.2 million in dead cap money. He's not playing football ever again. There's a difference between football and baseball. He's lucky to have a leg, okay? So please, Ryan Shazier will never play football again. The dead cap money, it's a different sport, okay? So these contracts actually do exist, and here's how players protect themselves. There's always been, you're taking what agents say and what the Players Association say as law, and that's not factual. You can fight for shorter term. Like if you want just a small short-term guaranteed deal, you know what that's called? That's called a franchise tag. That's what Dak Prescott has. That's what he's fighting against. He's going to get $31 million, and then next year he can either sign a free agent deal with somebody else or sign a franchise tag, which would likely become $32, $33, $34 million. Again, guaranteed, and play the whole thing again. Right? That's what Kirk Cousins did was he risked this by doing the franchise tag two consecutive years, much like Dak Prescott's doing, which players are like, I don't want the franchise tag. Okay, wait, you don't want a short-term guaranteed deal, but you're saying that somehow a long-term guaranteed deal where you get paid a bunch of the money up front, and then there's a point in the middle of the contract where there's this lump sum payment, and that's what Pat Mahomes, look at the deal, $274.781 million in the first 6 years. They can't cut him. That money he will get. He will be on the roster, and then either they renegotiate a deal or it spikes to like $50 million a year. Okay. And if they cut him, then he's a free agent on the market. That's the way it works. That's actual guaranteed money. And the reason that NFL teams have to protect themselves is one, because of injury, and two, you give a dude, you know, you like just things change over a 10-year period. Guys complain that they're now underpaid because they signed these deals. Like that's actually the actual criticism of the Pat Mahomes deal is that it doesn't take into account what's likely to be a spike in the salary cap in years to come, and actually protects him and gives him a bunch of money up front when most people believe the salary cap will go down over the next 2 years because we don't know if there's going to be any fans in the stands this year, which is going to change the revenue. So, Rob, respectfully, you're completely either misrepresenting what the actual facts are or you're not paying attention to how it all works. Rookie contracts for first-round picks are fully guaranteed and have been since the last...
Doug, he has $63 million right now, guaranteed, fully guaranteed.
No, he has 141.4. He is going to be paid.
That's
$141.4 million.
That's an injury guarantee. No, Doug, it's 63.
No, you're not reading the contract.
I am. I have it. I have it in front of me. It's six. Look at Albert Breer.
That's what he
from
got
the
paid.
Monday morning quarterback.
That's what he got paid already Thursday. Okay, he gets paid $103.3 million on March third day of the NFL year next year. Then he gets paid $141 million total. Okay, total by March 3rd of 2022. He is getting that money whether he plays another snap.
He signed for 503, Doug. My point is simply that if you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you're coming to me and you want me to make a 10-year commitment to you, I'm saying to you, as in other sports, I don't care about, you could have insurance for injuries. You can, Patrick Mahomes, I'm not talking about every guy. Patrick Mahomes is a special player.
Agreed.
Patrick Mahomes is a guy who, if you want him to be a part of your organization for the next decade, you can go out of your way and sign a guy and give him guaranteed money.
They did. And they gave him 27.
No, I'm talking about $503 million.
It's not possible.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. No, it's not. You're stating things that are not possible. Okay, you're stating things that are actually not possible. It's people do this all the time. They do this about baseball. Man, the baseball contracts are great. That's not true. That's
why
not true.
Why are they not great? Why is $426 million guaranteed, Doug, not great?
Because
I'll listen. Tell me how it's not great.
Because up until last year, did you know that Mike Trout was making less $1 million or less throughout his career? Did you know that? Like, there becomes a rich and a poor. There is not unlimited sums of money. That's not actually the way it works. Okay? There, you don't have, hey, I want 500.
Tell me how 426 is bad, Doug. This is what you just said. Explain to me how it's not a good deal.
It's
fully guaranteed. Or Manny Machado's $300 million. Or Bryce Harper's $300 million. Tell me how those are bad deals.
How much is Bryce Harper making per year?
I don't know what the breakdown. I don't have it in front of me. Well, I just know what the total deal is.
Okay, how much is the total deal?
It's over $300 million. What was it, $325?
Yeah, for how many years?
13 years.
Okay, so 13 into 32 is what?
27.5. Okay, that's
Patrick Mahomes is guaranteed. There is no way that they can cut him based upon the dead cap money before the end of the sixth year of the contract, which would average.
Have there been any dead cap money players cut? Have there ever been players cut?
Yes.
All right, then, you can be cut.
Yes, and what happens if they cut Pat Mahomes? What happens? So he gets his 104.
Yeah, but he doesn't get 503.
Answer the question, Rob. What happens if he, now look, he'll get $141.4 million in the next 2 years guaranteed, okay? So he has the 141, and let's say they decide, we'll move on, we'll cut him. What happens? What happens? He gets another roster bonus for another $40 million. Okay, so now he's got 180 at any point in time that they cut him in those first 3 years. Okay, and then he's a free agent and he can sign another deal where it's guaranteed money. It doesn't mean that if he gets cut, he can't go and get another contract. Again, you're misrepresenting it.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm talking about with the Chiefs, Doug.
Essentially,
he signed a bogus. Just hear me out. He signed a 503 is what they put out.
The chances
of him getting $503 million from the Chiefs, Doug, are almost zero to none.
Really?
He'll never get all that money.
He'll never get that.
Am I right or wrong?
You're wrong. He'll actually get more.
He won't get 503 from the Kansas City Chiefs.
He will get
guarantee
more.
You
He'll
that.
Get more. Earl Thomas was ticked. He got every penny from his 4-year deal signed with the Seattle Seahawks.
You said that, 4 years, not 12 years, Doug.
I understand.
12 years.
I understand. Look, if you're the Chiefs, you have to, again, there's no such thing. You're not doing to do. The Chiefs aren't going to go like, oh, hey, you want 6 years then to be a free agent? Sure. Remember, this
you're
is not.
You're speaking French. I'm speaking English.
You're right.
Doug.
Because, no,
it
I'm speaking
make
English.
Sense.
You're speaking
I'm
Dream World.
I'm telling you, Garrett. No, I'm not Dream
He's
World.
Garrett. Look. They cannot, okay? Based upon dead cap money and the size of this contract, Rob, the reality is they can't cut him and then find a replacement at quarterback. They can't for the first 6 years of the deal. And that's $274 million. And if they cut him, which would be the stupidest decision ever, okay, if they cut him, then he will go and get all of that money elsewhere. Now, the reason that $503 million
maybe
is put out
they're cutting him because he got hurt or he's not good anymore, okay. Doug. It ain't automatic that he would go to another team and recoup that money.
Okay.
That is not fact, you're talking about.
The only reason they would cut him
is that he was hurt or he was no good. It ain't because he was great and they cut him.
So that makes no sense.
You
just told me that it was a guaranteed cinch that he's going to be great for the next 10 years no matter what.
That's not what I said.
Yeah, we can roll back the tape if you'd like.
They want him to make a 10-year commitment in a contract extension that they should commit to him the same way that in other leagues that they sign players.
Hold on, listen. He didn't have to, but they also did not have to tear. He has 2 years remaining on his contract. Like, the reality is he's under contract for 2 years, and then they could franchise tag him. three different times. So the chief, you're acting as if he's a free agent and he could have said, you know what, I can sign with whoever I want. You are dealing with a dream scenario that doesn't actually exist. The reality is that the Kansas City Chiefs had him under contract for essentially five more years and chose to give him a contract extension bigger than we've ever seen. The only thing that they asked of him in return is, hey, we're going to backload the contract with a ton of money, which makes you essentially uncuttable at the end of year six. We'll have to rework the deal where you'll probably make more money. It ends up being a win for Lee Steinberg, a win for the Kansas City Chiefs, because you will always be a Chief. And we have so much money that it's going to be the biggest contract ever. And while it may not keep up with inflation, it also doesn't hurt you with deflation, which is likely to happen in the short term. You're acting as if you can walk in and say, he wasn't a free agent, Rob. And you can't cut him, because if you do cut him, you can't put any sort of replacement of any sort of reasonable number behind him. That's what's happened to the New England Patriots, right? Pay attention. The Patriots are paying 13.5 in dead cap money to Tom Brady. Why couldn't they go out and pay a legit sum for a quarterback? They don't have any money. That's what dead cap money does. And the dead cap money on this contract makes you uncuttable. And he does have guarantees for $274 million. Please don't tell me otherwise. It's a great discussion. I just think that for a long time, the NFLPA has misrepresented the actual value in the contracts that they have. Check out that article, Deadspin. When does it drop, Rob?
In the next hour or so.
In the next hour or so. All right, coming up next, I want to do this. It is in regards to NFL players. Raheem Mostert, who was an absolute star in the NFC Championship game, appears to be fighting a losing fight. We'll discuss it next in the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb and Rob Parker in for Dan the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Dan the Boys back on Monday. Petros Papadakis is going to join us, college football analyst and a co-host of an award-winning afternoon radio show here in Southern California, where I'm broadcasting from.
One of the best guys in the world.
Yeah, he's great. Great dude. Former USC football player as well. And we'll get his thoughts on the likelihood of a college football season being played. He's also a former running back. And I think this is interesting, Rob. Like, Raheem Mostert's been cut six times. Last year, he signed an extension with the San Francisco 49ers. 3 years, $9 million. And he wants to be traded so that he can get a bigger role and obviously make more money. And I'm just listen, I understand you finally got a chance to show what you can do in the league. And he's an explosive running back. And he led the NFC champions in rushing yards and had that incredibly explosive NFC championship game. But, dude, you've been cut six times. You just signed a three-year extension last year, and you're at a position of declining value. What am I missing? Why would the San Francisco 49ers trade him?
No, they wouldn't want to trade him because they got a deal, and they know it. But my point is, I get the system does not work fairly for running backs in the NFL, and it's not right where basically guys are being used up their first 4 or 5 years before they are able to cash in. And it's the only position. Running is an important part of the game. I know everybody throws the ball now. It's more of a throwing league. But to set up the pass in a lot of times and to be able to run out the clock, you need to be able to get first downs on the ground. You can't throw every down. So backs are very important. We saw him in the postseason. He was tremendous for them. He was the reason that they got to the Super Bowl. And I don't blame a guy who wants to get paid before the NFL decides, okay, we used you up enough, and as you get a little older, you won't have the same value. Where is paying that guy during the time when he's been great for you? So I get why a running back would want to do whatever he could to get more money at the time when he's strike when the iron's hot, Strike when you're rushing for 5.5 yards a carry, not when you're rushing for 3.2 yards a carry and then nobody wants to pay you. So I get why he needs to force the issue to get more money now, because his career, unlike most football players, is very brief, and his earning potential might only be 5, 6, or 7 years, Doug, compared to other guys.
Well, I there's a direct contradiction in what you just said, right? You're like, well, the NFL uses up these guys, but these guys should get paid more money after they get used up, right? Like, David Johnson's the perfect example.
No, they should get paid. They should. I'm just saying it's got to be something to compensate them because they're not making the money when they're actually at their most productive. It's a system that is delayed money so that you have to wait, or you don't have free agency. If you have a bad year.
No, I get what you're saying. Okay. But listen, but I understand what you're saying. You're saying they're most productive in their first 4 years, and most of these guys are now being drafted in the second round. Some are drafted in first round. And look, there is the Christian McCaffrey contract, and he's probably the best all around back in the league because of what he can do catching the football as well as a hybrid back. But there's a couple different layers to it. In terms of Raheem Mostert, he's under contract. Like, that's the problem, is like, hey dude, sorry, you signed a 3-year deal last year. There's still 2 more years left on it. This is the way that contracts work.
Well, wait a minute. Do teams tear up contracts and reward people who do good work for them? Has that ever happened?
Occasionally, sure.
Okay, so it does happen. So you can do it. You can reward somebody when they've outperformed their contract and they've done something good for you. So they act like you're stuck, dude.
Wait, you signed that contract. So if you underperform, do you give the money back?
They cut you. They ask you for pay cuts. Doug, it happens.
Have NFL players ever taken pay cuts?
I'm asking you.
Yes.
To stay on a team?
Yes. But if they had value on the open market, they would say, go ahead and cut me, and I'll go get another deal on my own. Look, there are a litany of other running backs that the stories we have enough stories to show you. The Todd Gurley contract, which was the biggest one. He not only had a bad knee, but didn't appear to have the work ethic, or at least inside the front office of the LA Rams. They would rather pay him money to now play for the Atlanta Falcons than have him on their roster. That's a long-term contract that was torn up because of his production early in his career, right?
Yeah,
that
but
actually
you're
happened.
You're talking about a guy who got hurt, Doug. It happens.
He didn't get hurt.
Yes, he didn't, his knee.
No,
what do you mean?
He was hurt. No, he was hurt before he got
all
the
right,
contract.
All right, so
it was
then
an arthritic
bad
knee.
On their part then if they signed a guy who was hurt. I mean, my point is that you will have situations where guys get hurt during contracts, but those aren't the only ones you could always point to
David,
as the reason why
David Johnson,
not.
David Johnson got hurt 2 consecutive years after having, like, there isn't a, show me the long-term contract for the running back where the team got the better end of the deal. Le'Veon Bell's contract was so bad that the GM who signed it got fired almost immediately after, and they can't find any takers. And I'm telling you, Le'Veon Bell's still awesome, but he just doesn't have that value. Look, the bigger thing is this, and the point you made is a smart one, which is, hey, in the first 4 years of their NFL life, that's when they're most productive, right? And they should be paid more because that's when they're sharpest. That's before they start to get beat and worn down by the NFL. Because, as you point out, and you're right, their career is brief in some, like Adrian Peterson, still somehow accruing yards. You know, Frank Gore's going to play till he's 50.
Frank Gore is unbelievable.
He's unbelievable. Those are the exceptions, and the rule is you have a shorter window, a lifespan at that position. But if you don't like it, you're taking it up with the wrong people. The people to take it up with are the NFLPA. That's who negotiated a deal where they have these salary slots.
Okay? I don't disagree with you.
Okay,
and the Players Association and the CBA and the deals that they've done are awful. They are awful.
Well, they are and they aren't. And this is part of signing up for a union. A union protects all members, even the members that, you know, and the greatest number of those members are the rank and file guys. And, oh, yeah, by the way, there's just the reality to you can find running backs anywhere. Like, my thing is, I don't know why you would want to be a running back. It's being a running back and thinking you're going to make as much in comparison to other guys on the team as they used to. Like, you're just not keeping up with the times. That's I don't know why. It's like the idea of going and being a doctor now. Right. Where when we were kids, If you wanted to, the big house on the hill was owned by doctors. Okay, but the world has changed, and while you can still make a really healthy amount of money if you're a doctor, one, to go through medical school is incredibly difficult, incredibly expensive. You're going to carry that debt, and then once you become a doctor, you have to carry insurance because of all this litigation, right? Or potential litigation. And so if you want to make a ton of money, you probably become an entrepreneur. You go into tech or you go into finance. That's what you should do as an NFL player. If you want to be a football player, become a quarterback and you want to make a ton of money, wide receiver, quarterback, cornerback, defensive end, and left tackle. That's where the money is. And that's where the game has gone based upon the rules. They've changed all the other rules except the ones to protect the running backs, and that's why they have a shortened career. Let's bring in a former running back in his own right. Petros Papadakis joins us. You can hear him afternoons on AM 570 here in Los Angeles. With Rob Parker, I'm Doug Gottlieb. Is there any way, Petros?
Petros!
Is there any way to...
Hi, Rob.
How are
Hi,
you?
Hi, Doug.
Good morning, Petros. Is there any way to fix running backs as a position having a declining value in the NFL?
No. No, not with the position and not where they line up, where the linebackers line up, where the safeties line up, the impact when you hit that guy, even if he catches a pass because of where the defense is coming from, that guy's going to get hit. And that guy's going to deliver a lot of blows too. And the other thing about running backs that people don't realize is most of the time in a football game, you know, unless you get rolled up on, and we see that all the time in a replay when a guy, usually a big guy, gets his leg hurt or something, he gets rolled up on from behind. But when you're a running back, I mean, people hit you from everywhere. And they hit you in the head, and they hit you with their head all over your body because you have the ball. That really doesn't happen. I mean, if you get blocked in football, usually you're getting blocked straight away. And we've made a lot of rules to eliminate what was supposed to be really cool, which all these blindside blocks, which are obviously very dangerous. So I don't really think there's a way to litigate protecting a running back like there is, you know, keeping your hands off wide receivers while they're running routes and not hitting the quarterback too hard and all that. And they've done a pretty good job at a lot of that stuff, especially a lot of the kill shots in the secondary and the passing game. I never thought they'd be able to fix that. I've been calling football games for 20 years about, and I never thought that would change. But as far as running backs go, I don't know how you help that guy.
Petros, I know a lot of people, I know it's a throw-in league now, the NFL, and quarterbacks and whatnot, but last year, if you looked at the playoffs and the teams that advanced or the Final Four all had running games and good players. Derrick Henry with the Titans, would they have gotten to where they were without him running the football? So how do guys who run the football and add value to the team get paid? Does the CBA have to change where those guys get a different contract or get a contract earlier in their careers? Because somehow, some way, those guys kind of get shortchanged to me.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And they get shortchanged physically. And I'm not the guy to chop up money or understand NFL contracts, especially since I never signed one. But it would clearly be better to pay running backs earlier. Here's the problem. I remember that great back, Robert Smith, and he works at Fox. He's a great guy. And I remember one year, and he was a feature back for the Vikings. One year he got hurt. And then their backup tailback, who was a superstar, I remember him in college tearing USC apart in the Rose Bowl, was a guy named Leroy Horde. Remember Leroy Horde?
Sure.
Yeah, and Leroy Horde had one of the great quotes in the history of running backs, which was, if you need a yard, I'll get you three. If you need 10 yards, I'll get you three. And Leroy went out and ran for like 1,200 or 1,300 yards. And it's weird. You know, these careers are like firecrackers. And it's really hard to predict when and who is going to get that momentum. And the problem is, and this is also an issue in today's NFL, kind of to be great as a running back, you have to create rhythm. and touch the ball a whole bunch. Or in the case of a guy like Derrick Henry, not only rhythm, but you've got to create a situation where the defense gets tired of tackling your big ass. And that means you have to get the ball a lot. And that means it's probably going to shorten your career. So there's a lot of contradictions in there to help running backs. It's my favorite position, clearly, in football. But nowadays, to see its value and how it's dropped and why, I do understand why. It's just what happened. I mean, when I was a kid, teams, you didn't think about who the quarterback was always. You thought about, you know, who the tailback was. The Kansas City Chiefs had Christian Okoye. The Bears had Neil Anderson. The Niners had Roger Craig. The Rams had Eric Dickerson. I mean, that's when it was like, wow, the run game.
It wasn't even
king.
Petros. It wasn't even. You didn't just know the guy. They had a like Roger Craig was the high knee style, right?
Yeah.
Eric Dickerson had the guy. Like the team was known for the running back. But like again, we're talking about our childhood. Times have in fact
changed. But this is one of the beauties, Doug, and this really answers Rob's question. That one of the beauties of football is the cyclical nature of
right.
it. Yeah, it might be a passing league, but watch the Patriots buckle down and go double tight end and run people over this year with Cam Newton as their quarterback, because that's what happened to them in the playoffs. Football is always changing, and there's always a way to get after somebody the way they least expect it. Like the Wildcat. For God's sakes, that was just a single wing.
And honestly, that's all that some of this read zone read action, or when you direct snap to the quarterback, 11-on-11 football, that's single wing from back when football began, right? Halfback was half the way back, fullback was, you know, full all the way back, like quarterback was only quarter of the way back. That's actually why those positions were named as such from the old single wing.
Yeah, there's all kinds of weird stuff. You know, there's the double. A lot of that stuff went by the wayside because all you had to do was watch the offensive line and you could tell where the ball was going off the double teams. But now they do it in a zone style, which is the line moves together and they've moved the running back way behind the quarterback, or the quarterback's in a shotgun and they meet at a different point. And because there's no pulling or double teaming, the line can't read a hole and the linebacker just goes and fills it. He might have to go scrape all the way over the top or do something like that, which is why that player is not like my brother or father, who were both middle linebackers and weighed 265 pounds
right.
and were about 6 feet tall. And if you got in their little zone, they would rock 'em, sock 'em, robot your neck. But if you get them out on the edge, they might blow both hammies. Football's changed a lot, and that's one of the fun things about it, no matter how they try to litigate it.
Yeah, Petros, I want to ask you really quickly here. What are your thoughts on the likelihood we have a college football season?
Well, you know, I live in L.A. like you guys do, and I work in the media like you guys do. So I get inundated with so much, it's kind of hard to see which way is up. They told us a long time ago at Fox, where I've worked and called games for a long time, I've never called games for anybody else, really, that we're going to wait till late July and make a decision. Of course, it's a big part of my livelihood, like basketball is for you, and we are all suffering, and it's not just in sports, clearly. A lot of people are suffering way more. So I'm trying to have that perspective. But and then I think of going to Iowa and taking their football away. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, we had Bruce Feldman on the other day, and he's great at his job, but he was pearl-clutching and hand-wringing. And I was like, okay, go down to LSU and tell your buddy Ed Ogeron and Louisiana you're going to take their football. I'm not sure. That we might not have a season, and that's okay. But the whole spring football thing does not make sense, and I agree with a lot of the people that are talking about it. I have no agenda with it, but there just doesn't make sense for these guys' bodies and the schedule of the world. But I think we'll probably play conference games, which is kind of funny because a lot of these teams are further away from the teams in their conference than they are from each other. And 100 guys on a team is 100 guys on a team, right? So in a perfect world, we wouldn't be worried about football because it's not safe at all. There's no such thing as safety in football. There never has been. It's so much different than these other sports. So if we have this new kind of code of ethics about protecting people, we should probably just cancel the thing.
Yeah, safe football goes along with civil war, right? As as oxymorons that
should... Draconian.
Hey man, you good? Everybody healthy? Everybody healthy at your house?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, it's
this wasn't a trick question.
I know. Petros is like, well, where'd that come from? You know?
No,
like,
I'm about to say goodbye, but we haven't. Right. We didn't like. Hey,
let's. Hey, who's next?
Huh?
Who's next?
We have a break. We do have breaks. We do have.
Man,
we still
you
have.
Guys are scared of the clock.
You know, hey, this is not your show where you guys could just talk for 4 hours and not break. You know what I'm saying?
We're artists.
All right, get back to painting. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a
Stay
great
well,
show.
Petros.
Great to hear from you guys.
He's the best. Petros Papadakis, of course. If you're in L.A., you know on AM 570. If you're not and you find a way to get to L.A., you just turn on AM 570. You'll love their afternoon show with Matt Money Smith. It's been around forever, and there's a reason, because it's outstanding. Coming up next is Major League Baseball making a big mistake. No, not with playing, but with a rule that they're now implementing. Find out next in the Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb, Rob Parker, in for the Dan and the Danettes. This is the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Bucky Brooks will join us half past next hour. We'll ask Bucky about Rob's assertion that Pat Mahomes should have gotten a fully guaranteed contract.
Should have fought for one. Absolutely. He had the arsenal. He has the resume. He has the power to force change in the NFL, and he blew a golden opportunity.
He wasn't actually a free agent, but
they just signed him to a new contract. Doug, you're acting like I don't know that he was under a rookie deal. They still gave him a deal, right, and were willing to
no question.
Add a 10-year extension.
No question.
So if they were willing to do that, he could have been willing to say, I'll sign an extension, but I want it fully guaranteed. Inconceivable.
And I'm sure it would have been for less money, right?
Okay, fine, but it would have been guaranteed. That's my point.
It is. There are substantial guarantees within it.
Let's get to the baseball.
Okay, we'll get to it.
We won't agree on this.
What don't you like about what baseball's doing?
I don't like the idea that the DH is going to go away. I know they're using it this year in the 60-game season, and the chances the universal DH and eventually probably next year or the next collective bargaining, the DH will go away totally. And I don't understand why, Doug. I don't know. Growing up, Doug, were you in a National League city or an American League city?
I was
both. California, right?
I grew up in the city of Orange, so I'm an Angel fan. My dad was a Mets fan, so I love the double switch and National League Baseball more so than I like the DH, even though Brian Downing had this gigantic bat when I was a kid that I was fascinated by.
I remember him, right? But that's my point. Like, all the talk is to try to make the games quicker and move by, and the whole notion of a DH compared to a pitcher. I know people say, oh, I don't want to see a pitcher hit. Those are automatic outs, Doug, that usually make the game move a little faster. And the National League style of baseball, lower scoring, not always, but lower scoring, more pitching, and more strategy and decisions, to me, is a different game than the American League. The American League has always, to me, been like softball, you know, where you have all these hitters, and it's all a waiting for the 3-run home run, and taking a pitch. So I'm not so sure that I'm all in on the idea of changing that style of baseball and just going with the American League DH idea. And if you remember in 1973, Ron Bloomberg was the first ever to have that position or bat as a DH in the American League for the Yankees. And back then, it was supposed to be a rule to try to keep older stars in the game so that they could just hit and wouldn't have to play the field, but that's totally changed. So I watch it this year, I'll accept it, but I don't know if I'm all the way in on eliminating strategy and just having a DH in both leagues.
Look, I in principle I agree with you. Okay? It's a much more interesting game, especially when you get to playoff baseball, in terms of when you decide to go and get the pitcher, or do you just pinch hit for him? Like I think it's fast. The whole thing is fascinating. The problem with it is, yeah, you're eliminating jobs, right? That's it's a for the MLBPA, you're creating more jobs if you have a DH. College baseball has the DH. The minor leagues up until I think Double A and Triple A to this point, and again, minor leagues, not even minor leagues this year, and they're in grave danger of eliminating massive amounts of teams in the future. But the lower levels of the minor leagues only have the DH. And so baseball has been trending this way for a long time. And while we think baseball doesn't need to be faster, it needs more action. And the second part you said is completely correct. Like, analytics in baseball has actually increased scoring but decreased watchability. Right?
Absolutely.
And for people who don't know this, 33% of every at-bat, the only people that are involved in the at-bat are the pitcher, the catcher, and the hitter, because it's either walk, strikeout, or home run. And the analytics tell you you're much better to hit a home run than you are to lay down a bunt or to hit a seeing-eye ground ball into right field. That's why they've changed the swing plane. That's why MLB, I'm sure, has tightened the baseballs. It's because... the idea was always, if you hit home runs, people will watch, chicks dig the long ball. But the fact is that if you have one more hitter in the lineup, it dramatically changes the likelihood of scoring. And that's what draws eyes. Offense draws eyes. And it's what baseball can do. That's why the NFL said you can't touch a quarterback and you can't touch a wide receiver after 5 yards. The rules have, that's why the NBA changed. You can't hand check guys. And they've opened up the game and the use of analytics. All of these things are to create more offense, because that's what we as the American sports fan wants to see. And so while I agree with you, I would say the reason baseball is doing it is to try and create a more watchable game.
Yeah, I think the National League game is very watchable. Every game, to me, baseball doesn't always have to be offense. I can enjoy a 2-1 game where there's some good defense and plays. I agree with the home runs and strikeouts and walks. That is just to an extreme now. That's where we are. Home runs have never been an issue for me, but when it's just that or a walk, it does make it harder to watch. I like the hit and run. I like moving a guy over and scoring on a sacrifice fly. It's okay. I know it's not as exciting as a 3-run home run, but I think you lose something, and I don't think you always have to. There's certain things that maybe hanging on to are worth it. I love the National League style of baseball.
He's Rob Parker. Inside the Parker is his podcast, available in the Herd Podcast Network. You can download that. You can download my All Ball podcast, All Basketball, John Middlecoff's 3 and Out. So Herd Podcast Network, but Inside the Parker every week. And then, of course, you can hear him on The Odd Couple here on Fox Sports Radio at 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, along with our pal Chris Broussard. Coming up next, will college football exist this year? Or if it exists, what will it look like? Wait to hear what the Big Ten said yesterday and how everybody's reacting. That's next on the Dan Patrick Show.